Yes, great hope and power in the name of Yahushua. No doubt about that. You're listening to Cross the Border. And my website is crosstheborder.org. You'll find an email link there to email me. We're going through the Bible. And maybe perhaps I could give this program another name, perhaps Through the Bible for the 21st Century, because that's something that I feel like the Holy Spirit, His Holy Spirit, has moved me to endeavor, and that is to go through the entire scripture. Again, I attempted it once in the last century, didn't make it because of circumstances which arose, but I've learned so much then, since then, that I have to go through it all again. And I'll tell you what, it's much better this time around. Just the revelation and the working of the Holy Spirit in the first hour of today is somewhat overwhelming sometimes when the Spirit comes on me and things come out of my mouth and I know it's Him working. It's not me, because it certainly is not in me, but except for His Holy Spirit. We're going through Leviticus. We've done Genesis, Exodus. Now we're in Leviticus, and I believe we're going to continue right on through the narrative. There's a continuity here which I don't feel like I can break up. I considered going back and forth and from one book to another in the scripture, and perhaps some of the books, as we go through the entire Bible, will merit jumping from one book to another, but I believe that we have a continuity in the story here of creation, and through the promised seed of the woman, the Redeemer, which is going to lead us right up as we follow the narrative. Hopefully we'll come right up with the children of Israel to the time of Yahushua. We shall endeavor to do that. However, we can do it. I'm not certain that we'll cover everything in the Old Testament before we jump into the New. I'm certain there's a jumping off point there somewhere where the story is a continuity. But we'll just see where the Spirit leads us. And I do covet your prayers. So if you'll hold me up in your prayer as I go through this study, and that I do follow the leading of His Holy Spirit as we do this. And I know that those that are listening to me, that they must have a love for the Word of our Heavenly Father. They must have a love for Him and a desire to seek Him and know Him, especially according to the Word that He has revealed Himself to us. There's no better place to look for Him than in the letter that He has given us. And by the power of His Holy Spirit, perhaps we can see Him more clearly. But certainly we learn that He desires for us to come voluntarily and willingly to live a life of obedience, a life that is pleasing to Him. As we go through this, nothing is more pronounced than that. Now let us continue. We're in Leviticus chapter 6, talking about the food offering, which is called a meat offering. He shall take of it. Yeah, let's see. Get back to a starting point here. And this is the law of the meat offering. The sons of Aaron shall offer it before Yahuwah, before the altar. He shall take it of it his handful of the flour of the meat offering. So we're talking about a food offering. We're not talking about the sacrifice of animals in this case, because the King James Version used the word meat for food. And that's where a lot of people get mixed up, because they want it to be... they want meat to represent pork so they can justify eating bacon. Well, if you want, you know what? You don't have to justify anything by the scripture. Our Heavenly Father wants you to do everything voluntarily. If you want to voluntarily live according to the dietary laws, which I have chosen to do, then you do it voluntarily. If you want to eat pork and you want to ignore His laws, then you are free to do that. But don't twist His word to justify it in some way, as if it, so to make it some kind of holy thing. Because it's not. Just look at it for what it is. No one, I don't believe anyone's going to be condemned for eating a bacon sandwich because, you know, I've eaten bacon in my past. And perhaps I've even eaten unclean meat in the recent past without even knowing it. Because I don't question things, but I don't bring those things into my home to make them a regular part of my diet. I believe that is really the point, because I'm a volunteer. And I believe that he gave the dietary law not as ceremonial, but I believe he gave it as something that is for our own good. And apparently that's, as man has learned more with science, that has borne out that if we ate according to the laws given in the scripture, that we have a much healthier diet and therefore a much healthier life. And he said that he would lay none of these diseases that he laid upon the Egyptians upon us, none of those diseases. So if you want to live a life that has less disease, then it would be a wise thing to live your life voluntarily according to his law. Okay, so they take a handful of flour as a memorial and they throw it on the fire for a sweet savor, even the memorial of it. So that's just a small part of it. If someone offers an offering of food or meat, flour, oil, whatever, just a memorial of it is upon the is thrown upon the fire, and the remainder thereof shall Aaron and his sons eat. With unleavened bread it shall be eaten in the holy place, the court of the tabernacle, the congregation, they shall eat it. So it was their food. It shall not be baked with leaven. So the Levites weren't to have any leavened bread, apparently at any time, especially that which they ate in the holy place, in the court of the tabernacle of the congregation. It shall not be baked with leaven. I have given it unto them for their portion of my offerings made by fire. It is most holy, as it is the sin offering, as the trespass offering. All the males of the among the children of Aaron shall eat of it. It shall be a statute forever in your generations concerning the offerings of Yahuwah made by fire. Every one that toucheth them shall be holy. So the Levites, the priests, the sons of Aaron, in their generations were to be set apart. They were to be holy. They were to eat of the sacrifice, of the meat offerings, of the food offerings, of the oil and the flour. In Leviticus chapter 6, verse 19, and Yahuwah spoke unto Moses, saying, this is the offering of Aaron of his sons, which they shall offer unto Yahuwah in the day when he is anointed, the tenth part of an ephah of fine flour for a meat offering, perpetual, half of it in the morning, half thereof at night, in a pan. It shall be made with oil. When it is baked, thou shalt bring it in, and the baked pieces of the meat offering shalt thou offer for a sweet savor unto Yahuwah, and the priests of it. And the priest of his sons that is anointed in his stead shall offer it. It is a statute forever unto the Lord. It shall be wholly burnt. For every meat offering for the priest shall be wholly burnt. It shall not be eaten. So that which the priests offered for themselves was to be wholly burnt and not eaten. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his sons, saying, this is the law of the sin offering. In the place where the burnt offering is killed, shall the sin offering be killed before the Lord. It is most holy. The priest that offereth it for sin shall eat it. In the holy place shall it be eaten, in the court of the tabernacle of the congregation. Whatsoever shall touch the flesh thereof shall be holy. When there is sprinkled of the blood thereof upon any garment, thou shalt wash that whereon it was sprinkled in the holy place. But the earthen vessels wherein it is sodden shall be broken. If it be sodden in a brazen pot, it shall be both scoured and rinsed with water. So if it was a porous vessel, it was to be broken and it had the blood on it. And if it was a brazen pot, that it was metal, it could be scoured and rinsed away. And of course, this was for cleanliness and basically for sanitary reasons. All the males among the priests shall eat thereof, it is most holy, and no sin offering whereof any blood is brought into the tabernacle of the congregation to reconcile withal in the holy place shall be eaten, it shall be burnt in the fire. Chapter 7 of Leviticus, verse 1. Likewise, this is the law of the trespass offering. So they went through, we went through all of the ritual, we went through all of the motions, and basically, I believe what's going on here, we have some further directions and conclusion of the ceremony of the sacrificial, the ritual that is to take place. So he says, likewise, this is the law of the trespass offering. It is most holy. In the place where you kill the burnt offering, they shall kill the trespass offering. The blood thereof shall sprinkle round about the altar, and shall offer all of it, the fat thereof, the rump, the fat which covers the inwards, the two kidneys, the fat, and pretty much we're just going through it all again. And the caul above the kidneys they shall take away, the priest shall burn them upon the altar for an offering made unto the by fire unto Yahuwah. It is a trespass offering. So whatever the sacrifice was, whatever the offering was for, whether it was a peace offering, for a trespass, for sin, whatever the reason, the inward parts were burnt upon the wood of the fire. They were burnt completely up. Let's continue. We'll see if we can get through as much of this as we can today through the ceremonial and sacrificial. It is somewhat laborious, but an understanding of the gravity of our sin, I believe, is what we really need to have the patience to go through this and understand it. Okay, so they burnt all of the inward parts on the fire. And the priest shall burn them upon the altar for an offering made by fire unto Yahuwah. It is a trespass offering. And of course, the skins were for clothing, basically, as we've see previously, which they're not even covered or talked about here throughout the ritual sacrifice. Every male among the priests shall eat thereof. It shall be eaten in the holy place. As the sin offering is, so the trespass offering. There is one law for them. The priests that make atonement therewith shall have it. The priest that offereth any man's burnt offering, even the priest, shall have it to himself, the skin of the burnt offering which he has offered. So there we see, finally, a word about the skin of the sacrifice of the animals. And all of the meat offering that is baked in the oven, all that is dressed in the pan shall be the priest that offers it, and every meat offering mingled with oil and dry shall all the sons of Aaron have one as much as another. So they were to share certain things evenly among all of the sons of Aaron, among all of the Levites, the priests. And this is the law of the sacrifice of the peace offerings which he shall offer unto Yahuwah. If he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer it with the sacrifice of thanksgiving, unleavened cakes mingled with oil, unleavened wafers anointed with oil, the cakes mingled with oil, a fine flour fried. And I'm not sure that means fried in a pan like we think of frying today. As a matter of fact, I am not certain what that means. Let's take a look here. Okay, all right. I'm trying to get this thing to work, but there we go, finally. To soak the bread in oil. So, not necessarily fried and cooked, but oil, flour with oil. And an offering of thanksgiving, that was for the priest. So if someone brought an offering of thanksgiving, perhaps they already did their sacrifice for their sin in that year, but they want to support the priesthood. They want to support the priest, the temple, the sacrificial system by supporting the priest. So they would bring a offering of thanksgiving. The priest would take a memorial of it and burn it on the fire, perhaps just a very small portion of it. How much do you need for a memorial? And the rest of it, that would be divided up among the son Aaron and the sons of Aaron for their families, for their use. It was an offering of thanksgiving. And I believe that should be carried out today for those in that are ministering to the congregation, as the Levites were ministering to the congregation, that a thanksgiving offering. This is not a tithe. We have not even touched on a tithe yet. But when we get to the tithe, I think your eyes are going to be opened a little bit as to the deception that has been carried out through many, many years as to what the tithe is. And as always, that's voluntary. But when we get there, we'll get there. Leviticus chapter 7, verse 14. And of it he shall offer one of the whole oblation for a heave offering unto Yahuwah, and it shall be the priest that sprinkle the blood of the peace offerings and the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until the morning. But if the sacrifice of his offering be a vow or a voluntary offering, it shall be eaten the same day that he offereth it, offers his sacrifice, and on the morrow also the remainder of it shall be eaten. But the remainder of the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day shall be burnt with fire. So 3 days. The third day, that's it. It's to be destroyed on the fire. And if any of the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering be eaten at all on the third day, it shall not be accepted, neither shall it be imputed unto him that offereth it. It shall be an abomination, and the soul that eateth of it shall bear his iniquity. And the flesh that toucheth any unclean thing shall not be eaten. It shall be burnt with fire. And as for the flesh, all that be clean shall eat thereof. But the soul that eateth of the flesh of the sacrifice of peace offering that pertaineth unto the Lord, having his uncleanness upon him, even that soul shall be cut off from his people. So there's a warning that you make sure that, it's just kind of like the warning they give these days when they have the what's called the Lord's Supper. When he said, do this in remembrance of me, they break the bread and they drink the wine or the blood that you're supposed to remember your sin. And, make sure that, I believe that we have the same thing going on here. And, of course, the thing here was to go to your brother and to make it right of anything that your brother may have against you or any sin or trespass that you may have committed against your brethren. So, love your neighbor as you love yourself, and to make sure that you're at peace with your neighbor before you come before the Heavenly Father. And Yahuwah spoke unto Moses, saying, and let us remember through all of this, that this is Moses receiving the law and the statutes for the sacrifice and for sin and for the ceremony of the temple, of the tabernacle, for they had no temple yet when they built the temple. Of course, all of this was carried over into the temple. So you have the tabernacle priest sacrificial system here, ceremonial, that is taking place. This is all a looking forward to what Yahshua would do when he shed his blood, the lamb slain before the foundation of the world, when that became a reality. Of course, he's called the lamb slain before the foundation of the world because all of this was preordained, and him coming and sacrificing his life and shedding his blood for our sin, it was all preordained. There are no surprises here. There was no plan A or plan B. There was only one plan, and we have lived it, and we are living it. Speak to the children of Israel, saying, you shall eat no manner of fat, of ox, or of sheep, or of goat, and the fat of the beast that dieth of itself, and the fat of that which is torn with beasts may be used in any other use, but you shall no wise eat of it. So yes, fat could be used for other things. It could be used for, and of course we're talking about the fat of clean beasts that dieth of itself, and the fat which is of torn beasts, something, you say you find one of your animals has been torn up during the night by a predator, you can use the fat to, what, make soap, to waterproof this or that, or whatever fat may be used for. That's not common today because all of us go to the store and get everything we need today already prepared. But where do you think that soap came from? Oh, it's made out of fat. So whosoever eateth the fat of the beast, of which men offer an offering made by fire unto you, even the soul that eateth it shall be cut off from his people. And moreover, you shall eat no manner of blood, whether it be a fowl or a beast or in any of your dwellings. So, and it cannot be stressed any more. And this is even stressed in the New Testament. And perhaps we'll open with that next time. In our next segment, we'll open with how this statute was carried over into the New Testament and how it has been totally ignored by the corporate church of our day. This law against eating fat and blood. Yeah, it's in the New Testament. How about that? And it was emphasized by the Holy Spirit. And we'll see that too when we come back tomorrow, because we're just about out of time today. So I'm going to mark my space here in Leviticus and chapter 7 and verse 26. And that's where we're going to pick up tomorrow. So do join me then. My website is crosstheborder.org. The name of this program is Cross the Border. And I believe that there is nothing, absolutely nothing, more important in this life than that you cross the border into the kingdom of our Heavenly Father and obtain eternal life. Can you think of something more important? Do you have something more important? Because this life is short. People say it all the time. This life is short. Life is short. But forever is a long, long time. You want to be prepared for that. Nothing is more important.